Yud Amid Beis.
What line?
One second, I'll tell you in a second. Rabbi Shoda Lemishko. Okay, 2, 4, 5 lines to the top, the last word on the line. Okay, if you remember last time we were learning about the various things you're allowed to set up an oven and a mill, and if you can cut the nails of the donkeys, if they go walking longer, the mill donkeys and all that. So now the Gemara continues, Rav is various dinim of what, and like it says, Rav is going to say now, 8 dinim applying to Chol HaMoed, one after another. Rav shara lemishko dama lebehema b'chol demoed. Rav permitted to do bloodletting. In the olden times, he used to do bloodletting, bleed the person or bleed the animal. So Rav said, you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. Why? The reason for this is because it prevents the animal from getting sick, which basically can cause a loss of money, or to not that the animal shouldn't suffer. And we'll soon learn, you could do things on Chol HaMoed that an animal shouldn't suffer. Yeah, a person for sure you could. Because to be healthy, you could. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye said to him, you know what? Tanya the Messiah, I have a braisa that says exactly like you say. It says, Makis and Dam Lebehema, you're allowed to let the blood of an animal, Vein Mein, Refuah Lebehema, B'chol HaMoed. And you don't hold back any malacha to do refuah to an animal. Now, any method that an animal needs for healing, you're allowed to do Chol HaMoed. Even though you might be cutting them and bleeding, whatever, doesn't matter, to alleviate suffering or pain or for the animal to be healthy, you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. Then the Gemara says, Rav Shara Lechavbusei Kirmi. Rav said, you're allowed to press clothes on Chol HaMoed. It's not so simple in Halacha today, but this is what Rav said. And the Gemara says, my time and why, my sehed you to. It's a work of an amateur. And we learned before in the Gemara, even sewing. Remember we learned sewing, if it's even, not even. The work, how many phones are there?
Just two.
The work of a professional is not allowed Chol HaMoed. The work of an amateur is allowed Chol HaMoed. So therefore he says, you can press clothing on Chol HaMoed. Why? Because it's an amateur. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yitzchok bar Ami, Amar Rav Chista, Rav Yitzchok bar Ami, the name of Rav Chista, Keture Bire Asir. But to pleat a sleeve is prohibited. They used to pleat the sleeves. The Gemara is my time, huh? My Sehuman, that's already a craftsman's work. And a craftsman's work, if it's forbidden, and we learned before, even if it's for the Yomtiv, you can't. Because even what you're allowed to do for Yomtiv is only an amateur's work, not a pro's work. Okay, now the Gemara says another din, Rava said. Amr Rava said another din. Man de misakalara, a person. Okay, the next few dinim work like this. Rava is going to say, you're allowed to do certain things, providing this is why you're doing it. But if you're doing it for another reason, then you're not allowed to. Okay? We learned before, you're not allowed to better land, make land better, on Chol HaMoed. You could prevent a loss. But remember, all the way at the beginning of the paddock we learned, you can't make land better on Chol HaMoed. So there are certain things that we're going to learn, that if you do it for this reason, then you're allowed to do it. If you're doing it to make the land better, then you're not allowed to do it. And Rava gives a few examples. Man de misakal adam, a person that removes obstacles from the land, an Chol HaMoed, in other words, there's a bunch of junk in the field that you want to clear off the field. So he says, what's the halacha? He says, ava adaita de beidari, if his intention is to make a threshing floor, and we'll soon see what this means. Meaning, he wants to make an even floor to thresh grain for the purpose of Yom Tif, Shari, then you're allowed to. Adaita da'ara hos asir. But if you're doing it to make the land better, then you're not allowed to. Meaning like this, you're allowed to thresh, dosh, threshing, an Chol HaMoed for Yom Tif, because it's food. Right? Now, sometimes what they used to do is, by removing obstacles, the Gemara is going to discuss it exactly what they used to do. By removing obstacles, the way that we learn now, is they would flatten the land. So if they flatten the land to be able to do threshing, dosh, then you're allowed to do it. If you're flattening the land to make it better, then you're not allowed to do it. So the Gemara right away says, hey, chidami, you know, how do you know what the guy wants? The bottom line is flattening the land. How do you know what the guy wants? So the Gemara is asking two questions. Number one, we learned before, remember that Avuna cursed the guy that worked on Chol HaMoed? So the question is, number one, to scream at the guy or not. Or, b'chlal, for the person, if he's allowed to do it or not. In other words, is he allowed to do it or not? So the Gemara says like this. Mulya b'mulayaya b'mulya, if he digs a mound and puts the dirt on the mound, or Nitza binsa, he digs a hole and puts the dirt in a hole that shows Adaita the Beidari, he wants to make a threshing place. But Shakam Mulya Vishada Binitza, but if he took a mound and put it into the hole, then he shows he wants to make the land better. In other words, you can tell how the guy is flattening the land. If he's taking dirt from a mount, from a hill and putting it into a hole, okay? So that shows that he's doing it to better the land. But he does it the first way, that he takes a mound and puts dirt on a mound, meaning, as the Mefarshim explained in the simplest sense, if he makes a small level area, that shows he needs it for a threshing place. If he's doing a wider area, that shows he wants to better the land. And it could be done a number of ways. For instance,
what is a threshing place?
Huh?
What is exactly is a threshing place?
You know what threshing is?
Yes.
Okay.
But I mean, what's the difference between bettering the land and threshing place?
If he wants to do it for a threshing place, so then his intent is not to make the land better.
Right.
He probably needs ground for the animal to put the stalks down and the animal to step on it.
Oh, I see.
To crush
that's
it.
That's what the ground is for. That
right. Right. So if he's doing it, so Gemara says, how can you tell what the purpose of it is? So Gemara says, according to many Mefarshim, the way they just learned this Gemara means, if they do a small area, then obviously he wants it for the threshing place. Because how much grain does he need just for Chol HaMoed? Or Yom Tov, he doesn't need that much. If he's doing it on a broader scale, so then it would be forbidden. Then the Gemara says like this. In fact, he brings down over here a whole bunch of different... Okay, then like this. If he removed the mound completely and used the dirt to fill the hole, that means he's widening open a wide place, so then obviously it's considered he's bettering the land. If he does a small place, then it's allowed. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava said another din. Hai man de zoche ziche, a person who clears debris, meaning the weeds and twigs from the field. In other words, the first case of the Gemara was removing obstacles, the way the Mefarshim learned, was not objects that were there, but the earth is not even. So there's an obstacle course, so to speak, for threshing. So the guy would level the land. So you have two ways of leveling it. Either taking a mound and putting it into a hole, which shows he wants to better the land, or if he does a little bit, then it would be fine. Now the Gemara says, what happens if there's debris in the land? Twigs and weeds and all that. So the Gemara says like this, Adata Titzivi, if he does it with the intention of gathering firewood for fuel, shari, then it's allowed, because then he wants it for cooking. Adaita Da'ada, but if he does it for the benefit of the land, meaning for cultivation, to cultivate the land, then also, then it's forbidden. So again, the Gemara says, Hei Chidami, how do you know if the guy is doing it for twigs or he's doing it to better the land? So the Gemara is simple. Shokul Ravir Viviv Shavik Zutra, if he takes the big twigs and leaves the little ones, so then little ones you can't use for firewood. They're worthless. So that shows that he's doing it for firewood because he's only taking the good ones. But then it shows Adaita Ditzivi. That shows that he wants to do it for the wood. What happens, Shokol Ravavi Vizutre? What happens though if he takes the big ones and the little ones, meaning he even takes the ones that are not fit for firewood, then you see he's doing it to better the land. So basically, Gemara is just snack a bullet. It's a very simple concept. You cannot better a land on Chol HaMoed. If you do things that betters the land and that's your intention, and you show that that's your intention, it's forbidden. If you're doing it because you need the stuff that you're doing, either as a threshing place, you need firewood or whatever, then it's fine. And then the Gemara says a similar case. A person who opens the gate, like the irrigation gate, when they didn't need water in the land, they would close the gate. Then if they needed water, they would open the gate. So the Gemara says like this. If you open the gate water and let the water in, so the Gemara says like this. If your intention is to go fishing, because as we'll end the Gemara, when they opened it, the water was from the rivers. Okay, so there are fish there. When you open the gates, the river came into your field.
And the fish too.
And the fish too. And then they would be blocked. The fish would get blocked by the Bulsum Sea. The fish would be blocked, and then you'd be able to have fish. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. If you're doing it to get fish, so obviously you can fish in Chol HaMoed because you need fish for Yom Tov. But if you're doing it to irrigate the land, so again, your kavan is to make the land better, then it's asr. Then it's asr.
So one second, Chol HaMoed, if you open the floodgates just to fish, you're allowed to do so
even though
the land will be irrigated.
Because that's not your intent.
So there's a roundabout way of doing this. The
whole Gemara you're saying, if your intention is, even though in all cases you're bettering the land, in all these cases that we're learning, even if you take off the big twigs and leave the little twigs, you're still bettering the land.
Right.
But you're showing that your kavana is not, because if your kavana is only to better the land, you'd remove all the twigs, all the weeds.
Can't the person fool himself and say, okay, open the
But that's between him and
let's
God.
Let's put the fish.
That's between him and God. Sometimes, by the way, the Gemara says, Ubavach lo yarim. Sometimes, in fact, the Gemara says, you should make tricks. And sometimes the Gemara says, mutalarim. Sometimes you could do it in, whatever. Anyway. But here, the Gemara says, so Gemara asks, Hechi Dami, how do you know if a guy is opening the water gates to fish or to get water? To water the field. So the Gemara says like this. Pasach trei bave. Sometimes they had two gates for water. So if you open both gates, and chad mi loy v'chad mi tatoy, one is at a higher elevation, and one is at a lower elevation, so then adaita de kavra. Then for sure you're fishing. Because when you let the water into the depression on top, the water drains out into the lower place, and then you keep the fish there. So that shows that you're doing it for the fish. But if you only open one water gate, that the water goes all over the place and there's no way you can catch the fish like that. So obviously, then it looks like you're doing it for the land and then it's forbidden. Okay, Vamirava, these are just dinim of the last dinim, especially depends on your kavana. Vamirava said, Hi man, the fasher diklo, a person who removes branches from a palm tree and Chol HaMoed. Now we learned before, you can't do things to better the tree. Right? So again, the Gemara says, Adaita the Chavi say, if his intention is to get food for the animals, because like Rashi explains, the branches of a palm tree animals eat. So if you're trimming the tree to get food for the animals, then obviously, surely it's allowed. Adaita the Dikla, if you're doing it though to improve the palm tree, Asir it's Asir. So the Gemara again asks, Heichi Dami, how do you know if the guy is doing it for animals or for the tree? So he said, very simple. Shokel kula mechad gisa, if he takes off the branches from one side of the tree, that shows adaita de chevasta, that he's doing it for the animals. Because he's taking off dry branches, moist branches. It's something like this. When they wanted to prune a tree, they would take off the dry branches because they're dead. The moist branches they didn't take off. So the Gemara is saying like this, if you take everything from one side of the tree, meaning you're taking dried branches and moist branches, then obviously you're doing it for the animals. But if you're taking it up from this side and that side, meaning you're making it even, plus you're taking only the dry branches, then adaita de dikla, then it shows clearly you're doing it only for the tree, for us and then it's forbidden. Then the Gemara says, "V'amir Rav said, Hani tamid tuchlani, these unripe dates." Now, they used to take unripe dates from a tree, and they used to cut them open. We'll see in a second. So the Gemara says, "Migzirinu, cutting them into two You're allowed to. Why are you allowed to? Because then you're eating them. That's what they used to do. If they would take these unripe dates, they would cut them open, split them in half, then they would show that they wanted to eat it. And obviously, if you're eating, you're allowed to do it. But, maitzinu, but if what happens if you press them under weights? And then what happened is, you got rid of the liquid, then it became dried figs, and then they stayed longer, they didn't spoil. Because they were dried. So, maitzinu, but if you put them under weights, then it's forbidden. Okay? So therefore, if you put them under weights to get rid of the liquid, then they don't become wormy. Because worms don't go for dried dates or figs or whatever. That's why pressed, you know, you buy in the store.
So you're not allowed to prepare, so to speak, batches?
No, that's work for no reason.
There's no cholam.
There's no cholam. What?
It's interesting, there's only cholam.
Right. Yeah.
All this.
Yeah, well, Yom Tov, sure you can't do any of this.
I know, I'm saying a lot of people, you know, just go to work, have all the
things.
That's why it says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Hamevazeh Samayadeis, if you shame them, the Cholam Moed, it's very sharp. What?
See, for example, in the case of the fish, you're only allowed to fish because you wanted to eat it on Yom Tov.
Right.
You know, regularly in Shabbos, if you have to boil water for a sick person, you're only allowed to boil the amount you have to. And when you're fishing, are you allowed to catch more fish, even though you don't need it, while you're at it anyway?
Yes. Because while you're catching already, you can continue catching. Because it didn't even, and Bishul and Yom Tov. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, yeah? So if there's one guy, you can't cook exactly one portion, and that's all. The Gemara says when it's a pot is fuller, it cooks better anyway. But you can't intend to cook for 3 days. You know what I mean? But you don't have to measure dafka. Okay, this is the exact portion, and this is what we put into the pot, and more than that, we're not going to do. That you can't do. You know, if a guy is fishing, you used to fish also in the old times with nets, right? Didn't have fishing rods or graph today. They had nets. Yeah? What do you think? A guy needs 10 fish for Yom Tov, let's say. And 20 fish, what do you think? He has to throw them, throw them back? That he doesn't have to do.
Well, Shabbos is always free.
Shabbos, you can't fish.
I mean, in case of a sick person.
Yeah, Shabbos is stricter anyway.
So, first of Yom Tov in the afternoon, you eat just a little chicken, but then you have some people coming tonight, which is the next day, whatever. So you put 2 chicken, out of 3 chicken.
5 chicken. Yeah. Technically, you would be allowed. That's why it says you could be mad him a little. Over there, you could cheat a little, because it's cooking anyway. Okay, then he says like this. This is an interesting thing. Amar Ava, no, I'm sorry, Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa argues. Okay? And he says like this. Rav has said a din, to cut it open and eat it, you're allowed to. But to squeeze it out under weights, that the liquid should come out, that it shouldn't get wormy, that you're allowed to do. I'm saying that you're not allowed to do. So Rav Papa said no. Kiv and the mislai, if it gets wormy, but the prakimatya ha'avod dami, then it's davar ha'avod, and you would be allowed to. Meaning Rav says like this, anything that's going to be a loss of money, you could prevent the loss of money. So he says, Rav Papa argues on Rav. Rav said, if you're doing it to squeeze out the liquid, to preserve it, then you're not allowed to. But he says, but then if you don't do it, if you don't do it, it's going to be a loss of money. So then you would be allowed to do it. No, he just argues with him. And he says, it's interesting, at the bottom he explains from the Rishonim, what's the argument between the Rav and Rav Papa? L'chayr over here, it's a very small loss of money. How much is the date already? It's not a big loss of money, you're going to miss a week's work. You're talking about a small amount of money. So Rav holds, like he says, even if it's a minimal loss okay, does not qualify for a loss to be to work on Chol HaMoed. Rav Papa says even a small loss of money is considered a loss, and therefore you would be allowed to do it Chol HaMoed. So really arguing if a small loss of money is enough to be able to work on Chol HaMoed.
Are we
paskin? Who do we paskin like? Wait a second. Rav Papa, that you're allowed to.
Even for a small
loss of money. Also, some people learn a different thing that he brings down. That who says that they're going to spoil? What's the question? Maybe if you don't press out the liquid, the dates will spoil. Maybe not. So it's like a minimal loss and a doubt. Mm-hmm. So Rav says it's not good enough to do it. And Rav Papa says it is. Okay, now the Gemara says, Amr Rav says like this, Pragmatia Koshu Asir. Any amount of business, of merchandising is forbidden on Chol HaMoed. Okay? Why? The Rishonim right, because there's a lot of effort involved. Because when you buy something, merchandising, you buy stuff, you have to look at it and analyze it and appraise it, and when you sell it, you have to make sure it's, So therefore, he says, you're not allowed to do it. That's what the Rav says. Amar Rabbi Yisi Bar Abin says, though, David Ha'avud, but in case of something that will be lost, meaning you're going to lose money, then it's mutter. Now over here is an interesting shaila that really is, I don't know how halachically is connected to this Gemara, but there's a big shaila in halach in Poskim, in the Achreinim, not so much in the Rishonim, even though they base it in the Rishonim. A lot of it's mentioned in Bava Basra, there's a stechemet about it, and that is lack of profit considered a loss or not? In other words, if I take your Gemara, and I ruin the Gemara, I cause you a loss of money. I have to pay. What happens if I don't make you lose money? I stop you from making a profit. Is that considered a damage or not? That you would have to pay. So this is really what's going on in this Gemara over here. The Gemara is saying, if it's going to prevent a loss, then you're allowed to do it. But he says, like, if it will be lost, then you're not allowed to, then you're allowed to do it. But what happens if you're not going to, like Rav says, merchandising is forbidden on Yom Tov. How are you going to make a profit? And if you don't make a profit, you're losing money, and we learned that something you can lose money, you can do it. Yet Rav says business he can do.
You cannot.
Why? Because you're not losing anything. You're just not making money. So he says, that's not enough to be able to work Chol HaMoed. The second opinion is not arguing. Rabbi Yisi Bar Abin says, if it's an actual direct loss, that means if you don't go to work, you're going to lose money. So then you could. There's a very famous Gemara in Bava Basra. Remember Bava Basra? The beginning? No? It's called Hezek Riyashmei Hezek. There's a din of two neighbors divided a courtyard. You could force each other to put up a fence, a wall. No, they both have to pay. But why? Because it's called Hezek Riyashmei Hezek. There's a loss that you get by being able to look at something. For giving an example, if I have privacy in my courtyard, there's a lot of things I could do that if I don't have privacy in my courtyard, right, things I wouldn't be able to do. Or, as some poskim explain Hezekiah, why is it Hezekiah? Because it says in the Gemara, a bracha is only sheira and davar shesama mino ayin. A bracha only comes on something hidden from the eye. Otherwise you get ayin hara, you know. Where do you get a bracha? A bracha is when something's hidden from the eye. So some poskim write, why is looking? I'm just looking, I'm not damaging you. What am I hurting you by looking? So some of us should learn, because by looking into my courtyard, you're going to stop me from getting a bracha. So there's two opinions in the Gemara. Is Hezekiah considered a damage? Or is Hezekiah not considered a damage? So some mefarshim learn, what's the argument? By looking into your backyard, I'm not causing you a loss. You're not getting a bracha. But you're not losing. So what am I doing to you? I'm stopping you from getting a bracha, from getting a profit. So one opinion says it's considered a loss. One opinion says it's not considered a loss.
Isn't it a
grama? It's gami, if anything. Right. They ask a question, why isn't it grama? But they pass, the right is gami. The Ramban over there in the Gemara, second parak. But this is the whole...
ask a quick question.
What?
It's similar to this, but just a little bit off the Gemara tangent.
Yeah.
A person, if a person knows what a person is doing for parnasa these days, is that also considered something that's not hidden from the eye?
No.
The person asks you, what do? I sell cars. So does that hurt the guy's parnasa?
No. No. So. It's only if you start looking what he's doing, then, you know.
So if somebody comes and, let's say, demonstrates in front of somebody's store and prevents customers from going in, he hasn't sold anything. Is that a loss or not?
So that's the shaila. I'm stopping you from making a profit. But over there, it's even less of a problem. I'm not stopping anybody from going in. What am I, blocking the door? If you have a business, yeah? And I don't like your business. And I tell him, you know what, don't go by him. It's not a good store. And he doesn't go in because of that. You can get money from me? I didn't do anything. I didn't force him not to go in. I advised him not to go in. It's not. That's not even preventing a loss. What's the legal law? I don't know what the legal laws of this stuff. Anyway, then the Gemara says like this. Ravina. The Gemara tells a story about keeping Chol HaMoed, what you get from it. Davina avala oiske davina had a certain business, certain good merchandise. Davim is davim b'shita alfe. He was able to sell on a Chol HaMoed for 6,000 zuz.
What but
was
the business?
But he had merchandise, it doesn't say what it was. He had merchandise that he was able to sell for $6,000. Shaila zvuni basu chel demeid. Yet, he didn't work Chol HaMoed. He said, I'm not selling it Chol HaMoed. After Chol HaMoed, he sold it for Zavne Betreser Alfi. He sold it for 12,000 instead of 6. Because he kept Chol HaMoed, Shem rewarded him that instead of selling it for 6, he sold it for 12.
Yeah, in the Chumash doesn't say it shouldn't work on Chol HaMoed, does it?
No, but there's whole machlekes in the Rishonim if work is forbidden on Chol HaMoed biblically or forbidden. Or rabbinically. In this fund, there's a lot of books written. There's a sefer distik just on Chol HaMoed. I brought it here a few times. Just on Chol HaMoed. There's a lot of books written just on Chol HaMoed. What is considered melacha, what is not considered melacha.
Specifically, it says the first day and last day.
Huh?
Don't work on the first day and last day. Specifically.
Correct. Correct. The only question is, see over here, as an introduction to the Masechta, now that we learned all these things. Okay, Chol HaMoed, okay. Basic activities for Ben Shabbos are prohibited on Chol HaMoed as well. Okay? This applies to virtually all biblical prohibitions, even rabbinic. Some authorities maintain that any work involving excessive exertion is forbidden on Chol HaMoed, even if it's not a malacha. Business transactions are forbidden because they could lead to undue effort. Okay, it's this more lenient than Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay, now, it's permitted to do work on Chol HaMoed that is needed to prevent loss of capital or damage to property, that we learned at the beginning. This dispensation applies only to loss of what one already owns, as distinct from loss of an opportunity to gain further, like we're learning here, to make a profit. That's a different story. Anything for food you're allowed to do. A worker that has nothing to eat can work on Chol HaMoed. If it's needed for festivals, like we just learned in the Gemara, if it's an amateur type of work, you could do it. If it's professionally pleating the sleeves, that you can do. Communal things, you're allowed to do it, but in an amateur way. Okay, then, he doesn't discuss it, but the Rishonim discuss The whole thing is it also from the Torah to work Chol HaMoed. There are many authorities that shown him that write that it's biblically forbidden to work on Chol HaMoed. With the Chachamim, were given the authority to make Chol HaMoed just like Yom Tov itself.
Work meaning going to business, not the malach. Just going to business.
But again, if somebody's going to lose money, I'll give you an example. If a guy has to close Chol HaMoed, but he has workers that he has to pay, whether they work or not, right? He has to pay them because he's closing up, yeah? So he can lose money by paying, let's say, five workers. He can end up maybe paying and losing $1,000, $5,000 for the week, right? That's called a loss of money. Just for that, you'd be allowed to keep the business open. Sometimes if you don't, you know, but there's a difference between, as we see here in the Gemara, there's a difference between a loss of money and not making a profit. That is a big difference in halacha. Like Gemara says, what we just learned. What? Here you go.
Why do you go to work? I mean,
Chol HaMoed?
Yeah, people come buy from you. You got to sell them. You got to make profit.
No, by the way, it says.
Oh, I can't make too much money. It doesn't work.
No, Moshe, people that have grocery stores where people need to buy things for Yom Tov, for sure you're allowed to stay open. Uh-huh. No, that's called, like we said before, that's Eichel Nefesh. Okay? Which is allowed.
But if your business is open and you don't go in, you just have to go in for a round of you.
Then the question is, how far does it go with a guy doing a malacha for you on Chol HaMoed? That's... It's not so simple.
Does it? They talk about it?
Yeah, they talk about it.
What about a grocery store's profits? Are they allowed to keep the profits on Chol HaMoed?
If you're making profit, you can keep them.
Well, I thought you're not supposed to make profit. Or you're not supposed to...
If you're allowed to be open, you're making profit, then you're allowed to. I'll give you an example of a completely different type of thing. I'm not allowed to take you to court. Two Jews. A Jew cannot take another Jew to court, yeah?
To a Gentile.
Yeah, to secular court. What happens if I initiate and I take you to court? Okay?
Okay.
Which I'm not allowed to do. You have a right, once you're in court already, to mess me up bad. You can countersue, you can turn it around, and then you could start demanding for me, and I can lose who knows what.
So once he's already in there, you can do whatever you want.
I brought you in the court system that I wasn't allowed to do. Mm-hmm. Okay? So once you're in there already, because of me, who did something wrong, you can do whatever you want to get me. So once there's profits, there's profits. And it's not...
Is a Jew allowed?
We're not going to my court.
Refuse going to Beis Din, and refuse the Beis Din is corrupt.
You have a right to say I want a different Beis Din, but you can't say I don't want to go to any Beis Din. What?
It's one of the heavy exercise in Roman.
If it's for health, yes. No, we learned. Can you be makers down from a behemoth for the four? You can do it. If they're doing it for health, you're allowed.
What constitutes health?
Health. To be healthy. Okay, then the Gemara says, another incident with Ravina. Ravina have a masik zuzah b'nei akra de shanvasa. Ravina had a monetary gain, a monetary complaint against people from the certain... area called Shanvasa River. Okay? Now, Ravina had a problem that these people owed him money. Also, came to Ravashi. So he came to Ravashi. Amalei said to him, Ma'al amezal idna alayu. Can I go to them on Chol HaMoed and ask him for my money? On Shabbos, you can't ask somebody for your money, right? But Chol HaMoed, he asked Ravashi, Ravina was owed money by people, and he went to Ravashi and said, hey, can I go ask him for money? So Amalei Ravashi said to him, 100%. Kiva nahid nohud de mishkachas lu. Now they're home. Because they don't work, right? Chol HaMoed, they don't work. Now they're home. B'yayim achirina, and another day, le mishkachas lu. You're not going to find these people. So he told him, Prakamat yo'ovud dami. It's similar to business that you're going to lose money. If you don't do it now, you're going to lose money. The shodin, it's allowed. So basically, he told them that you're allowed to go collect the money because obviously this is when they'll be home. And otherwise, it won't be home.
So this is a general clause.
Yeah. Tanya Nami Hochi, so we learn by Avei Dezora the same thing. Not Cholomei, but it didn't have Avei Dezora. That what? Helch, and you're allowed to go. The Yirid, Shal Evdek Chav Mazolis, you're allowed to go to a pagan, idolatry fair. The Leich and Behem, Avodim, Shvachas, Botim, Sadis, Uchram, you could buy over there animal servants, maid servants, houses, fields, vineyards. The case of a Maile Bakoy Shem, you can even write it up. In their courts, there's not cholamay. We're talking about, I'll explain this, Aveda Zara. Mipnei Shu Kamatzim Yodam, because that's the only way the Jewish buyer will protect themselves from the Goyim reneging from their order. Meaning like this. The commercial fair used to be run by idol worshippers. The normal business fair were run by the Goyim that were idol worshippers. So now the question is.
Convention.
Huh?
The business conventions.
Now, L'cha'eda, you're going to Goyish judges to write it up. You're going to Goyish judges to write it up. Are you allowed to go to Goyish judges?
You're talking about the cashiers?
No. To write a contract.
Documents, contracts,
whatever.
You have to go
to record the transactions.
Oh, record.
Deeds.
Yeah.
They used to have deeds when they sold, especially land. So he said you're allowed to go. Why? Because that's the only way you're going to get it. In other words, you can take a goy to a goyish court, because if you don't, then the Jew won't be able to get it. That's the one way of learning Gemara. Another way of learning Gemara is L'cheda. How could you go to a pagan fair if it's Avei Dezora? So the Gemara says, this is what the rabbis permitted, because it's the only way the Jew can get such stuff, so he would be allowed to.
What were the other ways you could get it?
No, I'm saying, this is the only places where they sold this stuff.
Not going to the pagan's fairs on their holiday?
Or? Even on their holidays. Yeah. You're generally forbidden to business with idolaters on their festivals. Okay? Why? Because when you do business, you start praising their idols. But the rabbis made a special allowance in case of a pagan fair, which was held on pagan festivals, because these items that are needed for personal use are otherwise not available at such reasonable prices. So therefore, you would be allowed to. But a Jew...
Like you say, like Chesmach.
Yeah. Well, yeah, something like that. If it's a sale, it's a... Yeah. That's where you can go shopping, let's see, the day after Kasma, whatever. when all the sales and returns and all that stuff is on. And the same thing the Gemara says, Rav Shara Lechia Barashi Lemigdol Ore Bechula Demeid. Rav permitted Chia Barashi to make fish traps in Cholameid. He used to make fish traps, like nets or whatever. So Gemara says, my timer. Why did he permit it? So he says, Maisa had you to, number one, it's amateur work. He wasn't a professional guy. But the Gemara says, Avil Isla also, but if it's, but bird nets are forbidden. Why? My timer. Maisa Umenu. That was a craftsman. Now, what is the Gemara saying over here? Amateur work for Yom Tif, you're allowed to do. Professional work for Yom Tov, that you're not allowed to do. So making a bird nest, even though you want to catch birds for Yom Tov to shech them, because it's a professional type of a job, you can't do it even if it's the needed for Yom Tov. Amateur type, like fish nets, which are not so professional, then you're allowed to do it for Yom Tov. Then the Gemara says like this, Rav Yehuda Shori La'ami Tanura, Ami Tanura means Ami, the oven maker. He was like a well-known oven maker. He permitted him, Lemigdol Tanuri, to build new ovens in Cholameid. Or the Rabbi Bar Asbi, and he permitted Rabbi Bar Asbi, Lemigdol Muhulasa, to make sieves. In other words, he says like this, even though the work of craftsmen, and here's an interesting difference the Gemara is saying. For direct food, you can even do professional work. Indirect food, you cannot do professional work. Like he's saying, this is the way the Mefarshim here explained the Gemara. The bird nest, even though you want the bird for food, but it's only indirectly catching the bird, and then you're going to use it for food. So then professional work you can't do.
And fish is the same, isn't it?
No, the fish was amateur work. The fish was amateur work. Amateur work you could do for any need of food.
This trap they're talking about is not a net, it's a different type of
food. Here in the English he calls it bird nets.
No, the trap for the fish.
He calls it fish traps.
Yeah, they get these buckets and they cover the top and then they put a little hole on top and they put bread inside and the fish go in but they can't come out.
See, the traps, no, they used to do, he just says, many of Shem explained, traps which are permitted are those made by weaving together strips of palm leaves, which is a work of an amateur, whereas those which are forbidden are those made by weaving flaxen cords, which are craftsmen. This is the way, I don't know, I mean, whatever the difference between bird nets and fish traps, I mean. But the Gemara is saying that directly, that's why he permitted him to make a sieve. Because sieve is directly connected to food. And the other ones is not, it's only to help to get the bird to be able to eat. So that's a different story. So the Gemara says, Aini, it's not true. For Tanya, Rabbi Bashmul said, the Shav in both opinions, we don't know which opinions they are, but both opinions agree, you cannot make an oven on Cholamayd. So how did Rav Yehuda allow Ami Tanura to make an oven and Chol HaMoed when it says clearly everybody agrees you can't make a new oven and Chol HaMoed?
Is his name Ami Tanura because of Tanura?
Yeah, Ami the Tanura. No, his name wasn't, his last name wasn't Tanura.
Oh, yeah.
Ami, the oven guy.
Oh, I see.
So the question is, how could Rav Yehuda permit him to make an oven? When it says clearly, everybody agrees he can't. So the Gemara says it depends winter or summer. And this is interesting. Leikashi Gemara says, it's not a problem. Kambi meisek chama, in the summer you're allowed to. Kambi meisek shamim, in the brais where you're not allowed to, is speaking in the winter. Now, meaning like this. And this is the difference between Chol HaMoed Pesach and Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Because there's only two Chol HaMoed, right? So if Rav Yehuda permitted Ami Tanura to make an oven on Chol HaMoed, and the other one forbidden, so he says, in the summer, you're allowed to. Which means Chol HaMoed Pesach. Chol HaMoed Sukkos is when you're not allowed to. What's the difference? The difference is like this. A new oven, when you make it out of ground, out of earth, right? Whatever, basically. In order to use it for Yom Tov, it has to be dried. You can't use a wet oven. It needs to dry. The clay needs to dry. So Pesach, where it's hot, when you make a new oven Chol HaMoed, the heat will dry up the oven that you could use it still on Chol HaMoed. But Sukkot, where it rains, if it rains, you still can't use the oven Chol HaMoed. Mm-hmm. So then everybody says you're not making it for Yom Tov. If you're not making it for Yom Tov, you're not allowed to.
Because perception. That's the only reason.
Not perception.
It sounds like you just said perception. Because it's
no, is it going to be ready or not?
Oh, I see.
Well, if it's not dry, you can't use it. Sukkos, it's not going to dry because it's the rainy season. So what are you making an oven for after Sukkos? That you can't make on Chol HaMoed for something after Sukkos. But when Rav Yehuda permitted, what's his name, Ami Tanura, to make it, is speaking Chol HaMoed Pesach, and Chol HaMoed Pesach, because it dries quickly, you can still use the oven on Chol HaMoed, so then you're allowed to. Okay, now we'll start the next Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't look like he's coming today, by the way.
So
he'll
be here by now.
Yeah. Okay, now the Mishnah says another thing. Eisin Maika Lagag Ulamerpeses Maisa Hedyot. You know, there's a mitzvah if you have a roof. Okay? And you don't have a fence around the roof. So the Torah says it's dangerous. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, and positive and negative mitzvah, you have to make ma'ak legagecha. Or if a person had railing, a gallery, I mean, like a porch. So the Mishnah says you can make a railing for your fence, for your roof, or for your gallery, ma'isa hedyit in an amateur way, just to stop the damage. Avo le ma'isa umen, but you can't do it in a professional work. a craftsman type of work. Now, the Gemara will discuss later, how do you make an amateur railing? Okay? But a professional railing you can't make, but an amateur railing you're allowed to make. And then it says, Shaf in Esasadokim, you can smear plaster over cracks, Umagilan, Aisim Bamagilan, you can flatten them with a roller. You know, when you, okay, when you put, to fix the cracks, no plaster. So first you put it in, and you straighten it out, then you take this flat, what they call the roller, but the flat thing, and you go over it to even it out. So it says, you're allowed to smear plaster over cracks in Chol HaMoed. Here he's speaking, by the way, it's two opinions. Rashi over here says it's the floor of an oven. And some people say it means a roof. Cracks in a roof. B'yad u'beregel, you could do it by hand or by foot, and the Gemara is going to explain what this means. But, loy b'machtzolim, not with machtzolim. We'll soon see what machtzolim means. Now, simply, and we're going to see in the Gemara exactly what the Mishnah means, because the Gemara changes the definition of the Mishnah. Simply, the Mishnah is saying, if there's a crack in the roof or in the oven, you can take plaster, put it on, okay, and then the Gemara says you can even use this roller to even it out. Now the Mishnah is saying you can even it out with your hand or foot, but not with the machtzolim. And we'll see in the Gemara exam what that means. Then it says, Hatzir v'atzinat v'akeda v'amino v'amafteich shenishbiru, a pivot, a socket, a lintel, a lock, or a key broke. Like your lock broke in Chol HaMoed, you'll have to fix it. So then there's mesaknim b'meid. You can repair it on Chol HaMoed. Why? Because these are prevent the loss of money. Okay? That is considered not only a profit, but the ganovim are going to come to us. You can have a loss of money. And then you can do it even professionally. But, b'vad shal yiskaven lasis malachta b'meid. The Gemara says what you have to do though is not to leave it over before Yom Tov to do it on Chol HaMoed. In other words, if it broke 2 weeks before Chol HaMoed, you can't do it on Chol HaMoed. That means you left over work dafka to do Chol HaMoed. If it broke in Chol HaMoed, it broke on Yom Tov. So then, you're allowed to do it even in a professional way, because it's preventing a loss of money. Because people are going to break into the house.
It's like the nails. Can't cut your nail on the
mallet. Unless you didn't before. Great. Then it says, V'chol kvashim, any pickled food, sh'yachol lechom en b'meyed, that you would be able to eat them on Yom Tov, meaning foods that pickle quickly, you could kevesh and you could pickle them in Chol HaMoed. In other words, say it takes a week for the food to get pickled, you can't pickle them in Chol HaMoed because they're not going to be edible until after Yom Tov, so then it's extra work for no reason. But if you can pickle food that will pickled in 1 day or 2 days that you can eat it, then you're allowed to do it. So it's a very simple Mishnah. Okay, we'll just learn this. Just start the Gemara. Then the Gemara says, "Hey, Chidami Ma'isa Hedyet. How do you build a railing that is amateur work versus professional railings?" So the Gemara said, "Rav Yosef Amar says like this: Behutze v'dafna. If you make it with palm branches or laurel branches, then you just take branches and do it. You know, just weave them together, so to speak. That's called amateur. But Masnita Ton in the Brayse it says, Tzor b'tzrur." You can even put stones up as a wall, but you can't cement them. In other words, if you cement it, that's professional. If you just pile the stones up and make a temporary wall, that's good. Okay.